Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
In the morning, during the morning, I interviewed and met with four potential justices of our great Supreme Court. They are outstanding people. They are really incredible people. In so many different ways, academically and every other way. And I had a very, very interesting morning. Very interesting, though, was my four meetings. I'll be meeting with two or three more, and we'll make a decision on the United States Supreme Court, the new justice. That'll be made over the next few days, and we'll be announcing it on Monday, and I look forward to that. I think the person that is chosen will be outstanding.
That's President Donald Trump speaking late last week about the process of picking Anthony Kennedy's replacement on the U.S. Supreme Court. President Trump will announce his nominee at 9 Eastern tonight. Some people are saying that no matter who it is, it will be a battle royale. I think that's probably true. We've known who he's had in mind for some time because there's been that list from even before his election as president of the United States. A lot of people are talking about Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who, well, we got to see the fireworks and the sparks fly when she was nominated for a lower seat in the federal court. She was also confirmed. Would that make it easier if she's nominated to be confirmed by the Senate, given the fact that everyone has the knives out on both sides? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. back live this Monday afternoon, July the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about diversity and the U.S. Supreme Court. Dr. Robert George of the McCormick Chair in Jurisprudence at Princeton University will be our guest here for the first few minutes of the program. A little bit later, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will join us. We'll talk about an op-ed in the New York Times titled, "Can the Catholic Church Evolve on LGBT Rights?" And then we continue our series introducing the books of the Bible. We'll be introducing the book of Proverbs with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Feel free to join us with your questions or your comments. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about diversity on the U.S. Supreme Court, Dr. Robert George. He holds the McCormick Chair in Jurisprudence and is founding director of the James Madison Program at Princeton University. He's author of several books, including his latest, Conscience and Its Enemies, Confronting the Dogmas of Liberal Secularism, and a recent column for First Things titled, The Diversity Nominee. Dr. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be back on the show.
Dr. George, if Judge Amy Coney Barrett is chosen by the president and confirmed for the U.S. Supreme Court, I believe she would be the sixth baptized Roman Catholic on the court. How does she represent a diversity nominee?
Well, the most important thing is not diversity. The most important is that she's a constitutionalist. In fact, that should be a basic requirement for anyone to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States. It's got to be a person who honors the Constitution, who's guided by its text, logic, structure, and original understanding, and who believes in the rule of law and therefore understands the limits of his or her own power. Now, several of the nominees, in fact, all of the ones who've been mentioned that President Trump is considering, possible nominees, I should say, all of them are constitutionalists. All of them are guided by the text and logic and structure and original understanding of the Constitution. All of them believe in the rule of law and understand the limits of their own power. So, how to choose? Well, here I think is where diversity can be helpful. It's true that Amy Coney Barrett, if she were to be nominated and confirmed, would not bring religious diversity. She's a Catholic, and there are already five baptized Catholics on the court. The person she would be replacing, Anthony Kennedy, is another baptized Catholic. But she would represent, for the first time, a true constitutionalist who's female. Unfortunately, Ronald Reagan's female appointee, which the very first woman ever appointed to the Supreme Court, Sandra Day O'Connor, turned out to be someone who could not accurately be characterized as a constitutionalist. She was too loose and too free and too willing to read her own personal opinions into the Constitution. She was not strictly guided by its text or logic or historical understanding. The three women currently serving on the court, all are Democrat appointees, all are liberals. None of them are true constitutionalists. They have their own theory of constitutional interpretation. I understand that. I respect that, but I certainly don't share it. They follow a school of thought that's sometimes called living constitutionalism. I call it penumbral emanationism. It understands the judge as having the job of advancing a progressive agenda in the name of interpreting the Constitution. With Amy Coney Barrett, we would have a woman who's a true constitutionalist, and that would be a first, and that would certainly bring diversity. She's also the mother of seven children, one special needs child, and two are adopted children from Haiti. We've certainly not had a woman on the court who matched that description. Justice Scalia, for whom Judge Barrett clerked when she was a Supreme Court clerk, had even more children. He had nine children, if I recall correctly, he and his wife, Maureen. But this would be a woman with seven children who has managed a career and motherhood, done it very well, is an accomplished scholar. She's just got a world of great things going for her.
Talk a little bit about her previous judicial appointment and Senate hearing, which may well serve as a very pale preview of what may be in store for her if nominated by the president for the U.S. Supreme Court. How did that go down? Refresh our memory.
Well, although she's certainly my first choice among many good choices, we don't know that she'll be the president's choice, so this is very speculative. She is not considered, strictly speaking, the front runner right now, but it's still possible that she could be nominated. When she was nominated for a seat on the U.S. Court of Appeals, the level just below the Supreme Court of the United States last year, she was met by liberal Democratic senators with some rather disgusting anti-Christian and anti-Catholic bigotry. Senator Dianne Feinstein from California, liberal Democrat, infamously said to her that she was concerned about her Catholic faith. She said, she being Feinstein, said to Judge Barrett, "The dogma lives loudly within you." That's a clear anti-Catholic or anti-Christian statement. She was basically dog-whistling the old prejudice that Catholics or perhaps other Christians can't be trusted to rule according to law, but will rather rule according to the dictates of their church or their faith. If you said that about someone of another faith, say a Muslim, or someone of the Jewish faith, that would rightly be denounced as bigotry. It should be denounced as bigotry when it's used against Catholics or evangelical Protestants or other Protestants or other Christians. Al Franken disgraced himself. He later disgraced himself in another way, or was exposed as having disgraced himself in another way, and is now out of the Senate. Richard Durbin, himself a baptized Catholic, engaged in some pretty close to the edge of bigotry. So she was badly mistreated and subjected to genuine prejudice. I hope that if she's nominated, the Democrats and liberals don't try that again. They very well might not, because it backfired. It made them look very bad. It actually helped her the last time. But who knows? They might resort to it again.
Do you think that her family is exempt from that kind of criticism? You mentioned that she does have a large family, and you mentioned in your piece in First Things that along with this lingering anti-Catholic bias, there also is a bias, maybe broadly cultural bias now, against large families.
Well, there is, and you can confirm that very easily. Just ask any woman, and I really mean any woman of any faith, ask a Mormon woman, a Jewish woman or a Catholic woman who has five or more children. Ask her what it's like to go out with your kids. Ask her if people ever say things to her about the size of her family, and you will find that women are regularly subjected to abusive statements, to very uncomfortable questions, to even ridicule for having large families. People will go up to them and say, you know, there's this thing, maybe you haven't heard of it, called contraception. They'll actually say things like that to women with large families. There's a genuine prejudice out there, and once again, it would be very good to defy that prejudice. And if Judge Barrett is nominated to become Justice Barrett and confirmed, it will be a good step toward defying that prejudice.
In your experience, will it be difficult for the Senate, if she is nominated, not to confirm her, since they already have narrowly, albeit narrowly, confirmed her for a lower seat?
This is politics, and everyone knows that this nomination has the potential of shifting the ideological balance on the court. So the Democrats will put enormous pressure on the red state Democratic senators, who will be tempted to vote to confirm any Trump nominee because their own electoral futures are at stake. They'll nevertheless come under tremendous pressure from the liberal wing of their party to vote against confirmation. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Some are suggesting, these are kind of scattered voices in the media, that President Trump might, and I don't know if they support this idea or not, but might nominate her as kind of a sacrificial lamb for both the media and the Democratic side of the Senate, that she would be then borked in the official parlance, and having spent their energies, make room for an easier nomination and confirmation.
That's incorrect. I don't know who said that, but that's incorrect. If she's nominated, it will be a terrible fight, but it's going to be a terrible fight no matter who's nominated. But she will prevail. She will probably get all 50 Republican votes. There are actually 51 senators, but Senator McCain is ill and will not be able to participate. She'll probably get all 50, including the two pro-choice women who are on the fence. And she's very likely to pick up Senators Manchin and Donnelly, respectively from West Virginia and Indiana on the Democratic side, and she could pick up Senator Heitkamp from Montana. So this is not a sacrificial lamb. She will be confirmed in a very tough fight by a relatively narrow margin, but she would be confirmed.
How would you compare Amy Coney Barrett with the reported other three finalists, being Brett Kavanaugh, Raymond Kethledge, and Thomas Hardiman?
I like them all. They're all constitutionalists. They believe in the rule of law. They understand the limits of judicial power. They understand that under our Constitution, judges are not entitled to substitute their opinions for the preferences of the people acting through their elected representatives. They know that they're to be guided by and only by the text, logic, structure, and original meaning of the Constitution. So I think that the Constitution of the nation really can't lose here. I don't know any of them personally very well. I've shaken hands with some, but I know the records, and the records here speak quite clearly. Anybody can quibble. Nobody's going to agree 100% with anybody else about anything. And there's no perfect judge, obviously. But they would all be terrific. As it happens, Judge Barrett's my personal favorite, but I'm going to be very happy with any of them.
If President Trump allowed you to have a few minutes in the Oval Office and said, Dr. George, make your case, who should I pick to be the next Supreme Court nominee, how would you respond?
That's very unlikely, that hypothetical. It's purely hypothetical because I've been rather a fierce critic of the president, so I doubt that he's going to drive me or ask me for advice. But if he did, I would say go with someone who is young, will have a lot of years on the court, who's brilliant, who is a true constitutionalist, and someone who would bring some new things to the court. And I put all those things together, and the arrow points at Amy Coney Barrett.
Dr. Robert George holds the McCormick Chair in Jurisprudence and is founding director of the James Madison Program at Princeton University, author of several books, including his latest, The Conscience and Its Enemies, Confronting the Dogmas of Liberal Secularism, and a recent column for First Things titled The Diversity Nominee. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. George, thank you for your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
When we come back, it's time to talk about an op-ed piece in the New York Times titled, Can the Catholic Church Evolve on LGBT Rights? Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.